This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Well, here on the Michael K. Show, we're celebrating our new 2 p.m. start time by giving away $10,000 in the month of April. It's the last week to cash in, so be listening during the 2 p.m. hour for the K-Cash Sounder and be ready to call in to claim $500 cash, all from your home, for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN.
I was such a jerk to you, Michael. I'm sorry.
What was that, babe?
I was such a jerk to you.
When?
I don't even know who that is. Well, I should know who he is. I prepared to do a game that he was in.
But I think that, you know, this heel K, you've really fallen back on being jerked on a lot lately.
Well, I was having fun with you.
Right.
Because you get caught up in baseball news as if everybody's hanging by the edge of their seat on what the Blue Jays are doing.
Trying to serve everybody. That's all I'm saying. Now, Don has, for a long time, Peter, talked about pound for pound, Dave Rothenberg is the best host on the station.
Right.
You've heard that.
And I agree.
I would disagree. I think pound for pound, Rick DiPietro is the most talented broadcaster that we have on the station.
He's very talented.
No, he's unbelievable. He's the best. He's better than all of us. We just look up at him and say, I wish we could be that.
So I've done what I came to done.
Let's bring in the great man right now. Rick DiPietro is on from 5 to 8 in the morning with Dave and Chris. Rick, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Michael. You know whose fault this is that Don's acting the way he's acting? I'll tell you whose fault it is.
Who?
It's Bob Raceman's fault. Ever since that article comes out, he dresses up. He's dressed up as Don Ho today. He's letting his freak flag fly.
Bob!
He's out of control.
Well, you know why I wore this shirt? Michael, I guess he doesn't have return today because he didn't even mention it.
No, I didn't want to make fun of the fact that you look like Magnum P.I.
Well, that's what I was hoping for because it's 88 degrees outside. Right now, this is the sacrifice I make, Rick, to be on this show. Everybody's out in the pool. The whole family. My sister-in-law's here with her kid. They're all in the pool. They're having on April 28th, they're having a pool party. So I figured I'd dress for the occasion.
Well, let me put this into perspective, if I could. This is the sacrifice you make for the show. You have the pool because of the show.
That's something you drop a mic over.
Excellent point. Excellent point.
So, Rick, they made a promo out of it, and that caught my attention because Don and I and Peter have gone back and forth on this Lindor thing. You have been in the arena. You have been the high-paid athlete in front of the fans. What does booing mean to a player, and does it ever help?
No, booing does not help. I mean, booing on the road, me going into Madison Square Garden to play the Rangers, getting booed by Rangers fans, I loved every second of that. Being at home and playing on some really bad teams, you know, being as high a pick as I was signing the contract that I signed, I understand when you sign a deal like that, there's going to be high expectations. Getting booed at home, being on the power play at certain points, and, you know, our fans cheering, let's go Bridgeport, or my favorite, and this would drive my wife crazy, is, and Don knows this, calling games, goalie struggling, letting a couple bad goals, next shot's like a dump in from the far blue line, and you stop it, and then you get the fans cheering that you just made a save from the far
right,
blue
the Bronx
line.
It's, cheer.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
But so you do hear it, and it bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers you. I mean, this is, you're, in all honesty, when you play at home, you're playing, obviously, for yourself, you're playing for your teammates, you want to win. But you're also playing for your fans. There's nothing better than, like, sitting, and I'll never forget the days when you play big games, especially at the Coliseum. Don's been there. The place is a dump. But we used to always say it's our dump. And you'd be sitting there in the locker room, and you could feel the place shaking, like legitimately shaking. You couldn't wait to get on the ice. And then on those nights when you just don't have it and your crowd starts booing you, it affects you. And especially what aggravated me about it is, like, we'll get phone calls, people saying, like, trying to justify the booing, which is fine. Like, you pay a lot of money. It's a lot of your time. You're well within your right to boo. But if what you're trying to do is get Francisco Lindor to play better by booing him, like, he needs to have a sense of urgency to get better because we're paying him $341 million, especially in baseball, you're not doing yourself any favors. You're not helping Francisco Lindor. You're actually making it worse because now all of a sudden, and you've already seen this from him, like, he's clearly trying to do damage. He's clearly trying to hit home runs, and it's affecting him. And he's not hitting, and the whole team's not hitting. Like, Michael, you know this. Trying harder in baseball is the last thing you want to do to have success.
Yep.
But, Rick, again, you just like Peter and Michael are looking at it very logically, and you're absolutely positively right about every point that you made. But you know now as a fan, too, you're a Jet fan, you're a Met fan, right? That passion, sometimes you kind of lose it, and that it comes out of you in that particular moment. And then you know that the next time you have a big game and you shut out the Rangers at the Coliseum, that those fans are going to cheer, and that's going to be genuine because you know that they'll turn on you in a dime. It doesn't have to be logical, but it just shows the passion that makes it different playing in New York anyplace else, because they're going to hold you accountable for everything that you do, and it comes from a place of passion. Can't you look at it that way in a more of a positive light?
No, I understand what you're saying. I completely understand what you're saying. But again, I mean, when you take this Francisco Lindor thing and put it in its proper context, and I heard you guys earlier in the show talking about this, it's, I mean, you're 18 games into the season. There's not one person, I mean, Nimmo's hurt now. He was hitting. J.D. Davis is hitting. But outside of those two, no one else is hitting. Alonso's not hitting. Dom Smith's not hitting. McNeil's not hitting. Conforto's not hitting. No one's hitting at all. And I get it. He makes, you know, $341 million, so he's kind of the face of this whole thing. But it's like at a certain point as an athlete, and I get it, we make a ton of money and we're blessed to do what we do. But at a certain point, it's like, I'm trying to earn your respect, and I in turn want the same kind of respect paid back to me. And I get it. Listen, Don, if it's one of those situations where, you know, Gary Sanchez isn't running out a fly ball or it's a lack of effort, you know what? Yeah, boom. Because as a teammate, I'm gonna hold him accountable after he gets back to the dugout or he gets back to the locker room, because that's unacceptable. But I mean, Francisco Lindor, even when he's not hitting, he contributes to this team winning. He plays great defense. He's got a smile on his face. He works his butt off, and he's trying. Like I know he's trying, and I guarantee it is eating him up. Every day he goes home, it eats him up that he's not hitting. I can promise you that every athlete, or most athletes, they are harder on themselves than any fan or media or article will ever be on them. And my only point is, you can do whatever you want, but if what you're trying to do is get the best out of your best player, booing him is not the way you're going to do it.
I'm wondering, Rick, we're talking with Rick DiPietro. You can hear him every Monday through Friday with Dave and Chris from 5 to 8 in the morning here on 98.7. I've seen players get booed, and it creates a lifetime of animosity toward fans.
Yep.
Does that happen? Have you seen that happen?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's the weird thing about professional sports, because there's a bunch of things that happen during your career that, like, leading up to turning pro with a lot of these guys that are, you know, the best at what they do, it's everyone is looking out for your best interest to get you to a certain point for whatever reason. Because, you know, it's your parents, they love you, or it's an agent, you know, he wants to get paid. But they're doing everything they can to get you to a certain point. And then all of a sudden you turn pro, and at some point, it happens to everybody, you'll get slapped in the face with the business of the sport. Like, it's either like, it was me walking out to a bus on a road trip and being told before I got on the bus that I was being put on waivers. Like, that was like the holy crap moment. Like, this can happen to me too. And I was devastated, but the same things with the fans. Like, you playing at home is an athlete's favorite thing to do, because you can feed off that energy. You can feed off that momentum. It's so much easier at home to carry momentum when the fans are rallied behind you. And it can go the complete opposite when they start booing you. And if they do it enough, it becomes like a, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm out here busting my ass every night, and I'm playing hurt, and you guys can't wait. You guys can't wait to boo me. So, yeah, there is, if it happens enough, there will be some resentment.
Did you feel like, Rick, because of where you were drafted and the contract that you had, held you at a different standard than, you know, Wade Dubowitz, who's backing you up, or Flaherty, or any of those guys, where, you know what, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I'm not going to give it to Rick because he was the first overall pick and he signed a monster contract?
No, absolutely, 100%. And Francisco Lindor knows that. I mean, Stanton knows that. Anyone that signs a big deal understands that there's added pressure, and it's welcome, because you realize that if this team is going to win, you're going to be a big part of it. What frustrated me the most about my contract was everyone saw the 15 years, which is, I mean, in hindsight, it's, you probably shouldn't sign anyone to a 15-year deal in the amount of money. But in all honesty, the reason why it had to be 15 years was because we were trying to do whatever we could to circumvent the cap, like we were trying to make it so my average annual salary would never prevent us from signing free agents and winning. Like I would never get to a point where my number was too high and prohibitive to signing other people. So that's why it ended up being and people were they were so quick to just jump all over me, like, look at this guy, 15-year deal. And I was like, no, I'm trying. I want to be an Islander for life, and the best way for me to do that is to sign this length of deal. And with that deal came a lot of, you know, obviously, and then I get it, too, because I get frustrated when guys can't stay healthy and everything else. So I completely understand. But, you know, it's in those moments, especially with some of the stuff that I went through with, you know, tearing up my knee and my hips and my face and everything else. It's like people almost got to a point like, they thought I was just happy collecting a check and not playing, when in actuality, if you ask any athlete, being hurt is by far the worst thing that can happen to you in sports, because you're not even around your teammates. They don't let you travel. You got to come to the rink at, like, you know, hours before the team does, get your treatment, then you're off to another place to get treatment. You know, you're getting invited to play tennis with 70-year-old ladies, which is great, but I mean, obviously not what you want to be doing.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You know, I've always said this. I mean, correct me if you think I'm wrong. You know, the money's great. Obviously, it sets your family up. But I've always contended, just in talking to you, that you'd give back a lot of that money to be able to play one more time.
I give up. I would, and I said this the other day on the show, because Dave, we were going back and forth with, you know, amount of money. But I forget what the question was. But and I say this all the time, and I mean it. If you told me tomorrow, give back every penny that you've earned, and you could come back and you'd win a Stanley Cup with the Islanders, I would give it all back in a heartbeat.
Really?
In a heartbeat. I mean, that was my goal. That was my intention. Like, I wanted to play for the same team for my entire career. Mm. I could have never imagined in my wildest dreams that I'd be the first overall pick, because at the time, Don knows this, it made no sense. They shouldn't have done it, but they did.
Who should it have been?
They should have drafted either Healy or Gabor. They already had Luongo, so it made no sense. Mm. They already had their goalie, and they drafted him high, and he ended up having a Hall of Fame career. Like, they should have just kept him, and then I probably would have went. I wasn't going to go second, because I told the Atlanta Thrashers GM, when he asked me, what would you like to achieve in the NHL? And rather than say win a Stanley Cup or a Vezina or one of those things that a goalie would say, I said I'd like to score a goal.
Yeah. I know you probably did. You know, getting out of the Atlanta thing was probably a good job out of you. I got to ask you, since I have you, how concerned are you that the Islanders aren't scoring goals anymore?
A little concerned. Yeah, I'm a little concerned. Luckily for us, we got our Bruce Zimmerman coming up, and by that I mean the Rangers. Get ourselves right, back on track.
Yeah, last
I will say this, though, too. Donnie, I will say this, because I get it, and it was great radio, you guys going back and forth. So the best way I could describe it to you is this. It's like, and Peter, you too, when Ray from North Carolina calls and he destroys Peter, right? In the moment, it hurts. Like, you don't like that. But it's like, you know, maybe this guy's not a real fan of the show. He just doesn't like me. And you can brush it off. But if it's, you know, people you see at the K Christmas party and you see at the beach bash that love you, they're part of the Carmy, and they love Don, they love everybody. And it's those people that are now calling into your show and being like, you guys stink. Peter, you're terrible. Michael, Don, you guys are the worst. Like that starts to wear on you. Like, that's a lot to deal with.
Well, we have to let you go because you have to go to sleep to get up for your show tomorrow.
That's right.
That's crazy, man. It is early. Peter doesn't know because he wakes up like 5 minutes before his show.
No, I don't. I do not relate to what you've got going on right now. It's a different animal altogether.
Yeah, 5 in the morning. Wow.
Are we up against the clock right now?
We don't care. Go ahead.
You're Rick DiPietro, for God's sake.
No, I was going to tell you guys a funny story because Cassie brought this up to me when you guys were talking about this. So it's funny that we're talking about this right now, because back when I played, me and one of my teammates, we both were hurt at the same time. Obviously, I was hurt. But his wife was taking care of us, so she was making us dinner and everything else. And at one point, she looked at the two of us and she said, like, wow, what a life you guys have. You're just sitting here. I'm taking care of you. You don't have to make dinner. And my buddy, who was her husband, was like, you think this is easy? And she's like, yeah, you're sitting here on the couch. Oh, you play a game for a living. He goes, I'll tell you what. You try getting booed every night by 18,000 people, and you tell me how much you like it. She's like, well, that's never going to happen. From that day on, for a full month, he booed everything she did. Every single thing. She made dinner. He took a bite. Boo on the chicken. Every single thing for a month.
Well, I'm just guessing, Rick.
He finally broke it down.
This is a leap by me. I don't think they're still married. I'm just guessing.
No, they're still married.
Interesting.
They're still married, believe it or not.
Interesting. And Met fans on Lindor will be married for the next 10 years, too.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Rick, you know how I feel about you. I don't know the other two. Thank
I
you
love
for coming
Rick.
On. You don't love him the way I do.
No, nobody
no,
does.
No, Peter doesn't love me, too. He's in Long Island. He doesn't even – he just says, where do you live in Long Island? I text him back, and he doesn't – that's it. Nothing. Response.
Just didn't know where that was.
I did do that. But the point is I was thinking about you, Rick.
Yeah, that's all.
So you just wanted his coordinates for fun?
No,
yeah, swing by, see the kids. Maybe I'll make you a nice dinner. No, nothing.
Nothing.
You know what? I'm going to take you up on that one day, and then you're going to be stuck.
All right, Rick, go ahead.
You guys kick me off, aren't you? That's fine.
No, because the big fella has to come on.
Oh, the big fella, too.
Yeah, I bet he does.
Yeah.
Anything you want to say about Chris before we let you go?
No, I prefer to text it to Michael. It's better that way.
No, that's the relationship.
Thanks, Rick.
Later.
Thank you, guys.
All right, that's the great Rick DiPietro. You can hear him 5 to 8 right here on 98.7. And coming up, the big fella, and then ENN. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
It's because I got a mango in my mouth.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.